Hey everyone, and welcome back for another To Deep Dive.
Yeah, great to be here.
Today we're talking about something that's super important for caregivers and loved ones of autistic individuals, and that's autistic burnout.
Definitely.
So you know those times when everyday life just feels super overwhelming?
Yeah, it's way more than just needing like a vacation or something.
Right.
We're talking about a state of like chronic fatigue and stress that impacts a huge percentage of autistic people.
Like how many are we talking?
Studies suggest it could be like 80%.
80%. Wow. That's a lot more common than I would expect it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so we're dealing with something really significant here.
Uh-huh.
Can you paint us a clear picture of what exactly autistic burnout is? Like, what makes it different from, you know, just having a rough week?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So, you know, like regular burnout might leave you feeling kind of drained after work. Mm. Autistic burnout is like everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
The Aspire study actually focused on autistic burnout. And they define it as near total exhaustion and like a sense of hopelessness.
Wow.
And even loss of function.
That sounds really intense.
Yeah, it impacts like all areas of daily life.
All areas.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So it's not just like I'm tired from work.
You know,
it's like my whole life feels impossible.
Right.
Okay. So this is serious stuff.
And it's debilitating because it's everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for people with autistic burnout to struggle with even really basic tasks.
Uh-huh.
And they experience a heightened sensitivity to their surroundings.
Uh-huh.
And even have problems like regulating their emotions.
Wow. Okay. So let's get into like the root of this.
Okay.
What leads someone to this point?
Yeah. So there's a couple things actually.
Okay.
One of the biggest is the constant effort that it takes for autistic people to navigate a world that wasn't built for them.
Right.
It's like they're swimming against the current all the time.
Yeah. I could see how that would be exhausting.
Yeah.
It's like you're always pushing yourself to fit in, even if it feels wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. And that constant effort to like adapt and conform.
Yeah.
It takes its toll, especially when you think about the sensory overload.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Many autistic people experience that.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine if you had to focus and function when like everyday sounds and lights and textures.
The stuff that we don't even think about.
The stuff we don't think about. Mm-hmm. But for them, it feels super intense and overwhelming.
Wow. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah.
You're trying to navigate social expectations, but also all this sensory input is just hitting you all the time.
And for some, it's not that it's too intense.
Right.
It's that it's not intense enough.
Oh.
So that's like hyposensitivity.
Uh-huh.
But either way, it's a major source of stress
yeah.
that can lead to that overwhelmed feeling.
So on top of all of that, there's the pressure to mask, right? Like
yeah.
to hide autistic traits and just try to fit in.
Oh, yeah. Masking is huge.
Yeah.
Like imagine having to constantly monitor your behavior and suppress your natural impulses
mm-hmm.
and try to fit in with norms that don't feel natural to you.
Right.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
And it leads to stress and anxiety.
So this constant struggle for inclusion,
uh-huh.
the sensory challenges,
yeah.
the pressure to mask.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a recipe for burnout.
Exactly.
You mentioned earlier life changes too.
Yeah.
So it's not just like this ongoing stress.
Well, not just the ongoing stress.
Big changes can be a trigger.
Right. And even positive changes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, think about starting a new job.
Okay.
Or moving to a new home.
Or even, like, going on vacation.
Or going on vacation,
yeah,
right?
Hey.
Anything that disrupts routines
right.
can create anxiety for autistic people.
That's a good point.
Because their world is different.
Yeah.
So even positive changes can be really challenging.
Okay, so it's change in general.
Yeah.
That can be a problem.
And, of course, negative life events are even worse.
Right, of course.
Like, loss of a loved one or health issues or relationship problems.
Right.
All that stuff can contribute to burnout too. Okay, so we've got these underlying causes.
Right.
Let's talk about recognizing the signs.
Okay.
This feels really important, especially since you mentioned that people might be masking their struggles.
Yeah, you have to be really observant because someone experiencing burnout might not be able to tell you what's going on.
Right.
Especially if they're used to masking.
Yeah.
So let's break it down into a few categories.
Yeah.
We've got everyday behavior.
Huh.
Behavior outside the home.
Okay.
And emotional control.
Got it.
Hmm.
Let's start with everyday behavior.
Okay. So think about their baseline.
Okay.
Are they struggling with things that they usually handle easily?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice they're suddenly more sensitive to sounds or lights?
Yeah.
Or maybe textures bother them now when they didn't before?
Okay.
It's all about looking for changes in their typical behavior.
So not necessarily like specific actions.
Right.
but just a shift in their normal patterns.
Mm, exactly. You might also see regression in skills they've learned, like having trouble with emotional regulation or staying focused.
Oh.
Even things like self-care that they used to be good at can become a struggle.
So we're watching for changes in their ability to manage like day-to-day life.
Exactly.
Okay, what about behavior outside the home? What are the red flags there?
Outside the home, you might see more absence from work or school.
Okay.
Maybe they're withdrawing from social things they used to like.
Yes.
Or they're not as engaged in conversation.
Right.
Sometimes their autistic traits might actually become more obvious.
Oh, interesting.
Because they don't have the energy to mask anymore.
It's like their capacity to keep up appearances is just gone.
Right.
And we're seeing more of their true self.
Yeah. And lastly, let's look at emotional control.
Okay.
More meltdowns or shutdowns are a big one.
All right.
They might be showing signs of depression or anxiety or just seem irritable.
Uh-huh.
And in serious cases, you might even see thoughts of self-harm.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it's serious.
And it's a good reminder that this is a serious condition.
Absolutely.
We need to talk about what to do if we see these signs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the big takeaway here is that we have to catch these signs early.
Absolutely. Early intervention can make a world of difference. The sooner you see it, the sooner you can start helping them.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about what caregivers and loved ones can do.
Yeah.
We often talk about managing burnout once it's already happened.
Yeah.
But is there anything we can do to prevent it in the first place?
Yeah. Prevention is always the best way to go. Right. If the person can communicate.
Okay.
Open and honest conversations are really important.
Yeah.
Make sure they know their limits, what they need.
Okay.
And work together to create routines that help them manage their energy.
So communication and routine are key for those who can talk about their needs.
Right.
But what about people who aren't as communicative?
For them, it's all about being super observant.
Okay.
Pay attention to their behavior after things that might be triggers for them.
Like what?
Like changes in their environment or their routine or social situations that might be too much for them.
Okay.
Look for those signs we talked about.
Right.
Even subtle changes in their behavior or mood.
Oh, be a detective.
Exactly.
And look for any clues that they're struggling.
Right.
Okay, so we talked about prevention.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about management strategies.
Okay.
What can we do to help someone who is already experiencing autistic burnout?
The first step, and this is the most important, is rest.
Rest.
And I don't mean a nap. No. I mean prolonged rest.
Okay.
Like getting them away from stressful environments.
So creating a safe space where they can just decompress.
Exactly. A haven where they can recharge.
Away from expectations and pressure.
Right. It might mean putting chores on hold or social engagements, even therapy appointments.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything that could be adding to their stress.
So it's about giving them permission to just disengage.
Yeah.
And recharge without judgment.
Exactly.
How long should this rest period be?
You know, there's no magic number.
Right.
It depends on the person.
Okay.
And how bad the burnout is.
Huh.
Let them guide the process.
Okay.
And watch for signs that they're feeling more like themselves.
So be patient.
Yeah.
And let them recover at their own pace.
Exactly.
Which I know can be hard in our fast-paced world.
Yeah.
What happens when they do start showing signs of improvement?
Right.
How do we help them re-engage with life without triggering another burnout?
That's where gradual reintroduction comes in.
Okay.
Once they've had enough rest and they're showing signs of getting their energy back, you can start bringing back their routine little by little.
Okay.
One step at a time.
It's like dipping their toes in the water.
Exactly.
Before jumping back in.
Right. You have to watch them carefully.
For any signs of struggle.
Exactly.
And this kind of brings us back to the idea of unmasking, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
How do we support that?
Yeah.
Especially in this reintroduction phase.
Unmasking is all about letting them be themselves.
Okay.
Without feeling like they have to conform.
Yeah.
So create a safe space where they feel comfortable stimming.
Okay.
Using their preferred way of communicating.
Yeah.
And just expressing their unique personality.
So we're celebrating their neurodiversity.
Yes.
Not trying to make them fit in.
Exactly. And this requires everyone to kind of shift their perspective.
Right.
You know, it's not about being deficient.
Yeah.
It's about being different.
Okay.
And authenticity is way more important than fitting in.
This has been so helpful.
Yeah.
We've really laid a solid foundation here.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the causes.
Right.
Recognizing the signs.
Yeah.
Exploring prevention and management.
It's a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
But there's still so much more to talk about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Welcome back to our deep dive on autistic burnout.
It's great to be back.
So, as we continue this conversation,
Yeah.
I really want to emphasize that even though we're focusing on the challenges,
Right.
there's always hope.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to get lost in the challenges
Yeah.
and forget that burnout isn't forever.
It's not a life sentence.
Right. With the right support and the right strategies,
Yeah.
recovery is possible.
Absolutely. And it starts with really understanding the individual
Okay.
and creating that supportive environment.
So let's talk about those support strategies.
Okay.
In the last part, we talked about rest
Yeah.
and slowly bringing back routines.
Right.
What are some other things that caregivers can do to help?
Well, one thing is to create a sensory-friendly environment.
Okay.
Because remember, heightened sensitivity is a really common symptom of burnout.
Right.
So if you can minimize that sensory overload,
Yeah.
it can make a huge difference.
Okay, that makes sense. But what does that actually look like? Like, what are some examples?
It can be simple things
Okay.
like dimming the lights
Okay.
or turning down the noise or using soft textures.
Okay.
Think about their specific preferences
Right.
and tailor the environment to them.
So maybe they need a quiet space.
Exactly. A place to retreat to when
Yeah.
it all gets to be too much.
Or noise-canceling headphones
Aggie.
if they're in a crowded place.
It's all about those little details
Yeah.
that make them feel safe and comfortable.
It's about creating a haven for them where
Exactly.
they can recharge
Right.
without being bombarded by everything.
Right. Another helpful strategy is to break down tasks into smaller steps
Okay.
because during burnout,
Yeah.
even easy things can feel impossible.
Right.
So instead of saying, like, clean your room,
Which feels
which
huge.
is overwhelming, right? You could
Yeah.
say something like, let's put away five shirts,
Yeah.
small, manageable steps
Yeah.
that make it easier to feel like they're accomplishing something.
It's about setting them up for success.
Exactly. Even small successes.
I like that.
So we talked before about unmasking,
Yeah.
letting them be themselves
Right.
without the pressure to conform,
How do we actually support that?
especially during recovery.
Yeah.
While unmasking is a journey,
Okay.
it's personal. So create that space where they feel safe,
Right.
accepted for who they are.
Okay.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
Encourage them to tell you what they need, what they prefer,
Okay.
without judgment.
So it's not just accepting them,
No.
it's encouraging them to be themselves.
Yes. Celebrate their neurodiversity.
I love that.
Let them know they don't have to hide.
Okay.
And this goes beyond the home,
What do you mean?
like advocating for them in other settings.
Okay, like school or work.
Exactly.
Yeah, that can be tough.
It can be really hard.
Especially when you're dealing with burnout on top of everything else.
Yeah. Right. So the first thing is to educate yourself.
Okay.
Learn about their rights,
Yeah.
what resources are out there,
Okay.
then talk to the people
Like
involved.
teachers or employers.
Exactly.
Okay, explain what's going on.
So it's about being informed
Yeah.
and being proactive.
Right. Be their advocate.
I like that.
But we also want to empower them.
To advocate for themselves.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Just hard.
Yeah, especially when communication and anxiety are already challenges.
Right. So self-advocacy starts with self-awareness.
Okay.
Help them figure out their strengths, their challenges.
Their needs.
Exactly.
Okay.
What works for them?
Yeah.
What makes things
What
worse?
accommodations they need. So
Exactly.
basically, help them understand themselves so they can
Yes.
communicate that to others.
And that's a process.
Right.
It takes time.
Start small.
Exactly. Maybe it's just asking for some quiet or
Okay.
telling a friend they need a break.
Okay.
As they get more confident, they
Yeah.
can take on more.
And there are resources out there,
Oh,
right?
yeah, tons.
To help with self-advocacy.
Find organizations and support groups that can
Oh,
give them guidance,
I like it.
help them find their voice.
So we've talked about the environment, unmasking,
Yeah,
self-advocacy,
right.
but I want to go back to technology for a second
Okay.
because it feels like technology can play a role here,
Absolutely.
especially during burnout.
Technology can be a huge help.
How so?
It can promote independence,
Okay.
reduce anxiety,
Ah.
and give them a sense of control.
Which are all important.
So important during recovery.
Right?
Think about visual supports,
Okay.
like visual schedules, reminders,
Yeah.
social
And
stories.
now those are all easily accessible
Right?
on phones and tablets.
And you can personalize them.
So it makes them more engaging.
Way more engaging.
Okay, what else?
There are apps for communication and social skills,
Oh,
which
wow.
can be so helpful.
Yeah. For people who struggle with those things,
right.
It gives them other ways to express themselves.
And connect with others.
Exactly. It expands their options.
What about sensory regulation?
Oh, yeah, there's so much tech for that.
Like what?
Noise-canceling headphones.
Right.
Weighted blankets.
Okay.
Fidget toys.
All those things.
All those things can help.
To reduce sensory overload.
Right.
Create a calmer environment.
And some smart devices can even adjust lighting.
Really?
Yeah. No. And temperature.
Wow.
And play soothing sounds.
So they have control over their environment.
Exactly. It's personalized.
I like that.
And for people who wander.
Oh, yeah.
GPS tracking devices can be a lifesaver.
It gives caregivers peace of mind.
Right.
And the person a sense of security.
Exactly.
Knowing they can be found.
But remember, technology should be empowering, not controlling.
Right. It's about finding the tools that fit their needs.
Exactly. The tools they like to use.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot of different strategies.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's important to remember.
Yeah.
There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Definitely not.
Everyone's different.
Every single person.
What works for one person
might
not work for another.
Absolutely. So it's about finding what resonates with them.
Right.
What aligns with their needs.
Yeah. What makes them feel safe.
And supported.
And empowered.
Exactly.
So personalized support is key.
It's the only way.
And that's why communication is so important.
So important.
Between caregivers.
Yeah.
Therapists.
Uh-huh.
Educators.
Right.
And the individual themselves.
Everyone working together.
Yeah.
To come up with a plan.
That really works for them.
It's a team effort.
I love that.
This has been a great conversation so far.
It really has.
They've covered a lot.
Yeah, but there's still more to explore.
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot more to talk about.
Welcome back to our deep dive. It's the final part of our conversation on autistic burnout.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
We have.
We're not done yet.
Definitely not. I want to talk about something that keeps coming up.
Okay.
And that's self-advocacy.
Such a powerful tool.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so important for autistic individuals.
Absolutely. It helps them take control.
Right.
Communicate their needs.
Yeah.
And create that supportive environment they need.
So let's talk about what that looks like in real life.
Okay.
How can someone actually advocate for themselves?
Well, it all starts with self-awareness.
Okay.
You got to understand your strengths,
yeah.
Your challenges.
Your sensory needs.
All of it.
It's like having a user manual for your brain.
Exactly. Once you know how it works,
yeah.
You can start advocating for what it needs.
I love that. Okay, so you understand yourself.
Right.
Now what?
Now you got to communicate that to others.
Okay.
Maybe it's explaining your sensory issues to family and friends.
Okay.
Maybe it's asking for accommodations at work or school.
Yeah.
Or even speaking up about policies that affect autistic people.
So it's about finding your voice and using it to make a difference.
Exactly.
But that can be hard, right?
Oh, yeah. It can be really intimidating.
Especially for people who already struggle with communication or have anxiety.
Remember, it's a journey. Start with small things.
Like what?
Ask a coworker to turn down the music.
Okay.
Request a flexible schedule.
Uh-huh.
You know, little things.
To accommodate your needs.
Exactly.
And then as you get more comfortable,
yeah.
You can tackle bigger things.
And find your people.
What do you mean?
Connect with other autistic self-advocates.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many great groups out there,
okay.
Organizations and support groups
yeah.
That can offer guidance and support.
Being part of a community can be so powerful.
It really can.
You feel less alone.
Right.
You can learn from each other.
And support each other.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beyond self-advocacy,
huh?
I want to touch on resilience.
Okay.
Because life is full of challenges.
For everyone.
Right. But especially for autistic people.
Yeah, they often face extra hurdles.
So how do we help them build that resilience?
Especially after burnout.
Right.
It's all about coping mechanisms.
Okay.
And learning to adapt.
You can't avoid challenges.
Yeah, you can't.
But you can learn how to handle them.
Exactly. And resilience is something you build over time.
Okay. How do you do that?
Well, mindfulness can be really helpful.
Okay.
Learning to be present.
Yeah.
Observe your thoughts and feelings.
Without judgment.
Right. It can help regulate emotions
yeah.
And reduce anxiety.
It's like creating space.
Yes.
Between the situation and your reaction.
So you can choose how to respond.
I like that.
And don't underestimate routine.
Ah, yeah. Routines are so important.
Especially for autistic people.
Yeah.
Predictability.
Mm-hmm.
Structure.
Stability.
It can be so grounding.
Like a safe haven.
Exactly.
When everything else feels chaotic.
And encourage them to follow their passions.
Yes. Things they enjoy.
Things they're good at.
That spark their interest.
It gives them a sense of purpose.
And accomplishment.
And it brings them joy.
Exactly. Even during tough times.
Okay. So We've talked about a lot of different strategies.
We have.
But as we wrap up,
yeah,
I want to emphasize one more thing.
Good
community.
Point. Connection.
It's so important for everyone.
Absolutely.
But especially for autistic people.
They need to feel seen.
Heard.
Understood.
Especially after experiencing burnout.
Because burnout can be so isolating.
It really can.
So we need to create that sense of belonging.
Okay.
Promote acceptance and inclusion.
In all areas of life.
Challenge those stereotypes.
Right.
Educate ourselves.
Build a world where everyone feels valued.
Exactly. No matter their neurology.
I love that. And connection can look different for everyone.
Right.
Social groups. Online communities.
One-on-one friendships.
It's about finding what works.
And making those connections.
And for caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Be present. Listen.
Offer support.
Don't judge.
Just be there for them.
That unconditional love is so powerful.